We are privileged, and it is a joy to have Christy and Miriam all the way from France. Christy from Paris area, some suburb of Paris, and Miriam from the Riviera. No, the Pyrenees Mountains, somewhere in beautiful southern France. And Christy, we learned, is envious of where Miriam lives. But they can share how they met, and we've really enjoyed them in our home. They're a blessing to have. And anyway, I'm just going to turn over to Christy. We'll have a word of prayer, and I'll have Christy come, and it's all hers this morning. So, and we give thanks to Jim for letting her. You all right? Yeah, okay. You know, and she can get kind of preachy. Is it all right to have a lady preach to us this morning? I'm all for it. We need it. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. We thank you so much for bringing Christy and Miriam into our church this morning. We pray your blessing upon them and upon our time together as we fellowship in the Lord today. May your name be glorified. May we enjoy our time with them, with one another, and above all, with our Savior, because that's why we're here this morning, because of Calvary. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Christy? And I will. Okay.
Great. Bonjour. Welcome this morning. It's great to see you all again. I haven't been here in 4 years. So there may be some of you that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, but I'm so thankful for your church, for your support, for your partnership in the gospel and the ministry in France, and I'm thankful for all the time that I've been given this morning to give you an update, because so much has happened just in the last few months, much less the last 4 years. So I'm glad to be able to share that with you. And I'm also glad to have Miriam with me. She'll introduce herself in a minute and share her testimony with you, so you can get to know her too. She's only with me for one more week, so you're one of the few churches that gets to meet her. I'm glad that you will get to meet her this morning. So this morning I'm going to show some slides and tell you some of the background of what's been going on in France. And then during the morning service I'll also share a little more, tie it together with a theme. You'll see a few of the same pictures, but it's really in Sunday school that you're going to get the most detail, the whole story. And then tonight, I also have some more stories, and Miriam does too, of some of the opportunities the Lord has given us to share the gospel with people from other countries, with exiles and refugees. And I've had the opportunity to go to Asia Minor and work with some Christians from underground countries, all sorts of interesting things to tell you. But first of all, I wanted to start out with the update about our church plant. So you might remember, I used to serve in northern France, in Normandy. I was there for 7 years. And then about 4 years ago, I moved down to the Paris suburbs. So I don't live in Paris itself. I don't live in the postcard Paris that you see in tourist information. I live in the suburbs, which are very, very multicultural. And there aren't tourists at all in these parts of Paris. So I'll show you that in just a moment. But the church plant is in a town called Sarcelles. And it's only about 20 minutes from Paris by train. It's not very far. That's where I have been serving. The missionary couple, the Bixbys, you see here, Tim and Ruth Bixby, they invited me to come help them start this new church. And we're not doing it from scratch. We have an amazing group of people. These people that you see here, most of them were saved and discipled in another church in Saint-Denis, which is another suburb of Paris. If you've ever met Steve and Rowena Barnes, they are missionaries in France, and they planted the church in Saint-Denis, and they spent their whole lives sharing the gospel and discipling people in Saint-Denis. And so their church in Saint-Denis grew to the point where they had no more room, really, to grow. Especially for occasions like baptisms, the place is packed. So they had been praying about starting a daughter church. And they asked Tim and Ruth Bixby, this family here, and another family who have moved on since then, they asked them to come and start a new church. And then they sent a whole bunch of people from their church in Saint-Denis to help us. So we're not starting from scratch. We're starting with a group of believers who have been discipled for years, trained by this other missionary couple. And we're really blessed to have that kind of group to start a new church. Some of them are already Sunday school teachers. They've already had lots of experience serving the Lord in their church. So most of the people in our church plant are from that big church, that mother church, or whatever you want to call it, in Saint-Denis. So we started this new church 3 years ago, and it has been exciting to be a part of seeing a new church born or planted in these suburbs of Paris. So the Bixbys have 4 kids. I love these people. They are very dear to me. They're not just coworkers. They are very dear friends. Their kids all call me Aunt Christie. They invite me to all their birthday parties for Christmas. It's really a joy to have coworkers like this. So Tim and Ruth have been praying and serving these last 3 years and starting this new church. Now, if you've been following my updates, then you know we've run into a really, really big challenge in being able to get our own building a place to meet. If you've been following, you know a little bit about this saga. So let me fill you in. So for the last 3 years, we've been meeting in a restaurant, in an Indian restaurant, just a mile away from my apartment. And they have a conference room in the back that they let us rent for 2 hours on Sunday mornings before they open up for lunch. And we're thankful for it, but it is not ideal at all. We've been there for 3 years now, and when we get there, often it's very, very dirty from the night before. This is the corner where we... The room where we meet for the services is usually fairly clean. One time, one of the pastors was preaching, and as he moved back and forth, you could hear this chick, 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 chick from the floors that were really dirty. But the little corner that they let us use for the kids, sometimes... Oh, wait, no, you're going to see that later this morning, sorry. I'm getting my PowerPoint mixed up. But the little corner that we use for the kids sometimes is just packed full of dirty dishes, and they park their motorcycles in there, and so when we get there, we have to clear it all out, and it's just not ideal because we already fill up that little room, so we can't grow anymore in that room where you see here. So when we get there, if it's not clean, then they usually start cleaning it while we're there. So you'll hear the pastor teaching, and then you hear the vacuum cleaner going in the back. There's no door. It's just a curtain. So you hear the vacuum cleaner, and so he has to raise his voice. And if I'm teaching Sunday school, then the vacuum cleaner's right there, and they turn on their music. And so you can pray for us when you come and clean your church every week. Pray for our church, because we can't clean our church. We have to let them do it when they show up. So it's not ideal for many reasons, and we have prayed and prayed for a better place to meet, a place that we can rent and hopefully purchase. And one of the problems we've run into is that whenever we found a building that could possibly work as a church, as soon as they hear it's for a church, they say, no, we don't want a church. That's happened several times. Not just because they're hostile to evangelical churches, but because they think it's not going to make any money. It's not going to contribute anything to this neighborhood, so we don't want it. We've run into that many times. It's been hard. It's been discouraging for us. And we've continued to pray. And one day, the owner of this restaurant was upset with us because he said that the chairs we were using for junior church were scraping his floors. So Pastor Tim went to meet with him and try to smooth things over. And that he said to the owner, you know, we really are trying to find another place. We don't want to be here forever either. We're looking. And the owner said, well, I heard about another place right around the corner that should be available soon. You should go talk to them. And Tim said, I will. So he went immediately around the corner to this Ford dealership. And the Ford dealership, you see there's the regular part, and then there's a whole top floor there, the windows, this long, huge, big room. And then the part to the left is a separate entrance in a room. That brown section. So they told Tim, yeah, we have somebody renting it right now as a dance school, but we're going to kick him out soon because he's not paying his rent. He hadn't paid his rent in a year. a year. So they said, yeah, this should be available soon. And what's amazing is that that owner, even though he heard it was for a church, he said, well, let's talk about it. He was open to that. So that already was a big answer to prayer. This was almost a year ago that Tim heard about this building. And they wanted a huge down payment. They wanted us basically to pay for 3 years of rent up front. And then that money could go towards the purchase after that. Kind of a rent to buy. The legal aspect is complicated. But they said they would be willing to give it to us for 3 years if we would pay 3 years of rent as a down payment. Well, we did not have that much money, but we prayed about it. And again, in just a few months, we saw the Lord provide several special gifts, both from America and from France. And so by last December, January, we had almost all the funds for that down payment. So we were really excited. We met with the owner. We said, God has provided for us. We can do this. And we were all ready to sign papers. And then does anybody know what happened in January? Does anybody remember? A fire. Somebody tried to burn it down. So it was probably the former renter. He was very upset that he had been kicked out. And they have video footage of someone, probably him, pouring flammable liquid all over the floors, on the top floor, on the stairwell, and downstairs, and lighting it on fire. So it was definitely on purpose. And thankfully, it did not burn down. We could have lost the whole thing. But it did not burn down because it's been built fairly recently. It's only about 3 or 4 years old. So the whole, I don't know if it's a sprinkler system, but whatever they had to prevent fires worked. So it did not burn down completely, but it did damage all the ceilings and floors and the electricity. All that has to be redone. But we don't have to pay for it because it's not ours yet. We hadn't signed anything. So that happened on January 14th, and they still haven't repaired it. And it's because of the insurance company. The insurance company feels like, you know, it's expensive, so they're putting it off as long as they can. They've sent a few experts, a few adjusters to evaluate the damage. That took months, and they were just there again recently, but they still haven't signed anything. They still haven't approved the funds to get it repaired. So we've been waiting since January. We keep thinking, okay, maybe next month it'll be ready. Maybe by Easter we can have our Easter program. Maybe by June, because there was a team coming from Colorado. Maybe they can be with us in the new building. So no, none of that has worked out. We are still waiting on the Lord to provide that. But he has done amazing things for us. Even though it looked impossible from every aspect, financially, logistically, so many things, he has made every step possible along the way. One of my favorite stories, this happened back, I think, in June or the end of May. The Bixby's had been working for months on the paperwork to get this approved by the city council. The mayor has to give his approval for you to use any building as a church. And not all mayors are wanting churches in their town. So that was a big prayer request. Plus, we had to get approval from the fire department, from the handicapped access, all those things. Lots of legal documents we had to fill out. And at one point, Tim went in to meet with the fire department and go over the revised floor plans. And the man said, well, let me call the handicap services right now and just see what they have to say about your application. So he called the lady in the handicap department. He put it on speakerphone so Tim could hear. And he said, yes, I'm calling about this Baptist church that wants this building in Sarcelles. And she said, oh, I know which application that is. Well, I've looked at it, and there's no way we're going to give them permission. And the fireman looked at my pastor, and he just kind of motioned like, I'm sorry. And the lady said, yeah, there are stairs that they would need to go up, and it's just not practical. So, no, we're not going to give them permission to use it. Now, we know there are stairs, and we have different ideas about what we'll do about that. And so the man hung up the phone, and he turned to my pastor. He said, sir, I'm really sorry, but I think you just need to find another piece of property. Well, this is after months and months of praying and hoping. This is by far the best property we've ever found. By far. And Tim, he said to this man, he said, look, we believe that if God wants us to have this, he's going to make it possible. So we're going to pray. We're going to keep praying. And the man kind of laughed. He said, well, sure, you can pray, but miracles don't happen every day. And Tim said, no, we're going to pray. So Tim went home. He shared that with his wife and his kids at lunch, and they prayed together. And a couple hours later, the phone rang. And it was the fireman calling back. And he said, you won't believe what happened. But this lady we talked to this morning, she just called me back. And she said that our conversation this morning about your church really bothered her. And so she decided to go back and reread all the fine print for your application. And she found this clause that said that we had granted an exception to the last people who rented that building, and that it's still valuable. It's still valid. So we have to give you permission to use it. And my pastor said, well, praise the Lord. I told you we were going to pray. He said, yeah, I know. You said you were going to pray. I thought about that. So it was really a good testimony for this man that God does answer prayer, that nothing is impossible with him. So that obstacle the Lord has also removed for us. So a few weeks after that conversation, the whole city council met together. And they looked at our application, the fire department, all the different services, the mayor, everybody, and they gave us 100% approval to use this building as a church. We're very thankful for that. But we're still waiting. The insurance company still hasn't done anything. And right now, it's summertime in France, and everyone is on vacation. So probably nothing will happen until maybe September. But this property would be wonderful for many reasons. In France, it's very hard to have parking for your church because everything is so dense and so small. Have any of you been to Europe before? I know that you have. I know the posts have. They came to visit me. Everything is small. So the church in Saint-Denis, which is the one kind of helping us start this church, they're a congregation of like 150 or 200 people. Guess how many parking places they have? Zero. They're in a residential area. So there's a few spots in front of the church, but anybody can use them. So the people who live there, they often park there. So most churches in France have very little parking. And that's something we ran into when we found other buildings. They said, is there parking? And we said, well, no. Well, then you can't have it. But this piece of property has parking, not only in front, but there's a brand new movie theater that just got built just a few feet to the left of this building. And they put in a huge parking lot with hundreds of spaces that we would be able to use. And then when they built the new movie theater, some of the people said, well, we need a new bus stop. So they put in a new bus stop at the movie theater. But we would also be able to use that. Do you see what I mean? It's ideal. It's on a major thoroughfare that thousands of people drive by every day. And it's just a mile from my apartment. So all of my neighbors know right where this is. It's across the street from a big shopping area. So in every way, it's ideal for us. Now, when the Lord provides for us to move in, Lord willing, the insurance company will pay eventually, and we'll get to use it. But we would like to actually buy it and not just rent it. And in France, that's a huge factor in allowing a church to be stable. Because otherwise, you're spending so much money on rent. The rent is very, very high that you have no savings left to ever buy anything. So we would really like to purchase it. And the price that they're asking is very reasonable for the Paris area. It's over 5,000 square feet. It's a big building. But they want us, after those 3 years that we will have paid for up front, they want us to pay for the whole final amount in one payment, which is over $500,000. Well, we obviously don't have that kind of money. But we're trusting that if God wants us to have that building for good, long term for our church, that he will provide that money. And I have a building fund at my mission board, and so do the Bixby's, and so some churches have sent special gifts for that. We're trusting that the Lord will provide, whether through gifts from the States or from France. We know nothing is too hard for him. If Isaiah 40 says that the nations of the earth are less than nothing to the Lord, that they're like the dust of the balance. And when we buy our fruit and vegetables at the grocery store, we do not brush off the dust from the scale. Like, it doesn't mean anything. And if the nations of the earth are like that to the Lord, if they're nothing, then what is one building in one town in one country? It's nothing to him. It would be easy for him to provide all that money if that's his plan for us. So we're trusting him, but we would appreciate your prayers. That's probably the biggest prayer request for our church right now, because without a place to meet regularly and permanently, the church isn't moving forward very, very quickly. We only have that restaurant 2 hours a week. So for potlucks, like this picture you saw here, this is in the Bixby's home. If we want to meet for a meal, we have to go somewhere else. The restaurant, of course, doesn't want us bringing food into their restaurant. So we can't have prayer meetings anywhere except at my pastor's house. And in even inviting my neighbors to a place that is probably going to be dirty, it's just not a good testimony. So we really would love to see the Lord provide this place for us. And thank you for having already prayed, if you have, for that. That's a big prayer request for us. Moving on. Oh, here's some pictures from the fire. So that's what it looks like right now on the left there. And then on the right, that's the main building. They have at least taken out all the burned out ceiling tiles. So that's what it looks like right now. Needs completely new ceiling and new electricity. Does anybody have any questions about this before I move on? Because the situation's a little unusual. The Ford dealership would still be there on the ground floor. We would be buying the top floor of their dealership. And that this part to the left, that brown section, it's a separate entrance. And one reason why they like us is we wouldn't be bothering them at all during their work hours. They're closed on Sunday, and so they think it's actually kind of nice for them. But does anybody have any questions about that whole building situation? Yes.
When you say the brown section, mm-hmm. What does that mean relative to your church?
Well, it means that we wouldn't be using the same entrance as the Ford dealership. Yeah, it's a completely separate, it's almost like apartments, you know, they have separate entrances, but they share the same major structure. That's the idea. So, yeah, our church would be there on the left. We'd have a sign, and people can access both that section on the left, which is like a welcome area, go up the stairs, then there would be a kitchen, and then when you turn, when you go across the landing, that those doors lead to the main room, which is so big that we're going to subdivide it with some movable partitions, put in a nursery. There's lots and lots of room. It can hold up to 300 people, that room. So it would be wonderful long-term for our church. So that's a good question. Any other questions about that? All right, well, let's move on. So one way in which I have been serving the Lord the last few years and wanting to get to know people in my community is by teaching English at my house. And I talked to a few people when I moved into my new neighborhood. I talked to a few people about that, and they said, oh, if you teach English, I'm going to sign up my kids. Absolutely. You know, this actual American living in their apartment building, they think that that's perfect. So I've started teaching English in order to get to know families. Since I don't have kids of my own, I'm not dropping kids off at school or picking them up like everyone else does every day. And it really has been a great way to get to know people. And I have these kids every week in my house. I have one adult group and two children's groups. And I told them up front that I would be using Bible stories to teach English. I thought, if they don't like that, then they won't come. So I was really clear about that at the beginning. And I've had lots of families come the last few years. Muslim families, Catholic families, atheist families, they let me teach their kids the Bible every week. And they pay me to do it because I have my own little business. So, yeah, how amazing is that? I was sure that I would get some negative feedback eventually from these families. Like, do you have to teach Bible stories? But nobody has complained. The kids ask me really good questions. Most of them have never heard these Bible stories before. So sometimes their reactions are rather entertaining. Like when I was telling, I think it was the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and Pharaoh chasing them with his army. And one of the kids said, and then the bad guys all were destroyed. Yes! they love it. These are new to them and they're exciting to them. And at the end of this year, I was able to get through Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. And one of the little Muslim boys said, well, what about Muhammad? What about Muhammad? Because I obviously had not mentioned Muhammad at all. And so I was able to just explain how Jesus said that he accomplished everything in order to save us, that he fulfilled all of God's prophecies for being the Savior to save us from sin and death. And that there was nothing left for anyone else to accomplish. Because, you know, Muhammad says that he came and finished God's work. I said, well, the Bible says that Jesus accomplished everything. So either the Bible's true or it isn't. I tried to summarize that simply. And one of the moms was actually there that day. Not that boy's mom. But one of the other moms was visiting. So I was a little nervous. But I think it went over okay. But I'm so thankful to have those kids from my neighborhood in my house every week. And whenever I go outside, I walk to the post office or wherever, the kids come running and they give me hugs. I think everyone now knows I'm that religious American lady in this big apartment building. So that's been a great opportunity. This little girl you see here, she's from the Ivory Coast. She lives there, and she's from a Catholic family. She does go to catechism every week, so she knows a little bit about the Bible. But at our closing program this year, I said, Ava, would you like to teach a Bible story all by yourself? And she said, sure. So she chose the story of Jesus calming the storm. And she taught it there. Now, most of the families were late, so they didn't all hear it. But she taught the story of Jesus calming the storm in English. I was very proud of her. So that's a little bit about English Club. This is a picture from my closing program. So you can see there's a Muslim family there from Morocco, a couple families from Morocco. In my neighborhood, the people come from all over the world. And it's exciting to share the gospel with them. So there's my little puppet, Chef Soufflé. He'll be around during junior church today. I also have had the opportunity to invest in the lives of many, many, many people. And like I said, the Lord hasn't given me my own family to take care of every day, but his family is huge. It's really big. So there is no lack of people to care for and encourage and mentor. And these are some of the young women that I have had the opportunity to get to know and love and seek to disciple. Some of them are like sisters. Some of them are like daughters to me. They're very precious to me. They come from all over the world. Some of them live in my town. Some of them go to my church, but not all of them. And one of them who doesn't live in my church is actually, or go to my church, is here today. Miriam is here today. She's there in the middle. And Miriam is from southern France. So I wanted to give her the opportunity to introduce herself and share about her own church's need with their own church building. Different situation than my church.
Good morning. Donc, I am French, and my name is Myriam. Donc, I don't live in Paris like Christy. I live in the south of France. Donc, I was saved. My parents were saved before I was born, and I accepted the Lord when I was a child. Since I lived in a region where there were very few Christians, the Lord gave me a burden to share the gospel with many people ever since my childhood. Look, I have had many opportunities to do evangelism in France with French people and foreign people. One of the groups that I have helped is called Global Recording Network. They share the gospel with people from unreached people groups by using audio materials in their native languages. God is doing a great work among these people. I will speak more about them this evening. This year, I plan to serve with a ministry to international students in the city of Aix-en-Provence, in southern France. We have a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with many foreign students. They came from unreached countries, very close country, and they are in France, and we can to share the gospel with them freely. I'm trusting the Lord to provide the financial support from churches in France, and also plan to look for a part-time job. Right now, I am from the church in Perpignan, in south of France, that put together this cookbook to raise money for our new building. I don't know if you remember this cookbook. Christy told you about this for years ago. We published this cookbook to raise money for our new church building in Perpignan. Some of you booked this cookbook, and that was a huge help to us. So thank you so much. God has provided most of the funds we need for our new building. Okay, but it's not finished completely. We book a new building because we can not longer stay in the old building in the center of a town. The new building requires a lot of renovation, and several brothers of the church worked on this renovation last year and again this year. In order to acquire the money to buy a new building and to do the work, we compiled a book of French recipes, both in French and in English. These are our favorite recipes, tested, photographed, and explained clearly. We have already sold this book in France, and we use the money to buy the building. Because renovations are very expensive, we are trying to sell this book here in the United States in English for further help with this project. Look, I have a lot of copies of this cookbook with me. They are $10 each. They are in the back. I am thankful for this opportunity to be in your church, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. So, yeah, her church has been raising funds for years. When did you start raising funds for your building? Do you remember?
Quand est-ce que vous avez commencé à vendre ça pour les fonds?
4 or 5 years they've been. Yes, before they even found the building. Yeah, they had no idea what to do to raise the funds they needed, and so some of the women in the church said, well, let's make a cookbook. And it's a really good one. I use it all the time. Now, I use the French version, but she has the American version here. And it was a great idea. They've raised thousands of dollars through this, both in France and in the States. And then the Lord has provided the labor they needed to do renovations. The building that they bought in downtown Perpignan was like an empty shell. It had never been finished. I mean, there was nothing inside. So the men worked for, I think, this whole past year, right? Ça fait un an qu'ils font énormément de travaux dedans. Yeah, yeah. A huge amount of work that most of them have done themselves to get their building ready. And I'll show you a picture in the morning service in a little while of what it looks like now. It's beautiful. But the only thing they haven't been able to finish is the top floor for the kids. So that's what the cookbooks are going towards now. Yes?
Can you summarize what she said? Because some of us elderly people were so fascinated by her beautiful accent.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes. Does anybody have questions about the cookbook aspect in the church, what they're doing with that? So she's... It goes to help finish the top floor of their church building. Yep. Yeah, but Miriam grew up in a family where her parents had been Catholic, and they were saved shortly before she was born. And her dad works for the forest department, the forestry service in France, so she's lived in these beautiful forests and mountains, these beautiful areas of the country, but where there were very, very few Christians. So in your school, did you ever have any Christian friends? No. No Christian friends. And how many... Qu'est-ce que tu as raconté hier par rapport aux Bibles ou les choses que tu n'avais pas? Yeah, she ever since she was a little girl, she really had a desire to share the gospel with people, and especially because she was the only Christian in among her friends. And so she wanted to share like New Testaments and material, but her church had virtually nothing. Like they had to go to this, they had to meet, was it in someone's home? C'était chez quelqu'un que vous avez, people's home, and they had to drive a long ways and meet in somebody's house, and there just was very little material for them. And so that's something she's really had a heart for ever since she was a little girl. And God has really given her an ability to share the gospel. I think it's a real spiritual gift that she has. And she has all these amazing stories. She was telling me some this week about opportunities she had before she came to join me here 2 weeks ago. Incredible. So she's going to share some of those with you tonight, and I can translate if you need me to. But amazing opportunities. She really has a heart for sharing the gospel, and God has given her the opportunity this fall to be part of a ministry to college students in another town in southern France. So she has to move to a new place. She has to leave her beautiful apartment in the Pyrenees. She's sad about that. But she's going to be working with this ministry to college students from all over the world, sharing the gospel, inviting them to church, including people from a lot of Muslim countries where it would be hard for us to go and share the gospel, but they're right there with us in France. And we have a lot of freedom in France to share the gospel. There's no fear about being thrown in prison if you openly witness. Not at all. So that's what Miriam gets to do this fall. Yeah, she's been a great encouragement to me. And she's actually a member of Ecclé Musica. I want to introduce that to you before we finish today. What time do we need to finish for church? 10:15. Okay, perfect. So I'll introduce this briefly, and then during the morning service, I'll show you a little video about Ecclé Musica. So this is a group that the Lord allowed me to start a few years ago. It's like a nonprofit ministry. And we want to help local churches fulfill their mission of worship and evangelism. And we provide resources for them for evangelism. We did some Bible story recordings for children. I have a few copies back there on the table. We did two versions. We did an African version for all the French-speaking kids in Africa, and then a European version for the ones in Europe. But it's a Bible story presentation that starts with Genesis, and it goes through the Bible. We have different French people that are sharing these stories, and then an original music soundtrack. It's not songs, but it's like almost like a movie soundtrack that goes along with the stories. And so we've been giving these out to people we meet, to families, to our friends, our neighbors, for years. You might remember me mentioning this before, because we had already produced those the last time I was here. But just a few months ago, we finally were able to put them on other digital formats and not just CDs. So now we have them on micro SD cards for people's phones in countries where they don't have CD players, in Haiti or in the poorer African countries. They all have phones. So they can put these in their phones, or they can put them in MIDI radios way out in the brush in Africa, and they can listen to them with other people. So we finally were able to do that. And then we also, for the more modern countries where people don't just have phones, but they have smartphones, we have a new little business card where they can flash the code with their phone, and then they can listen to the whole thing on their phone. So that was just in the last few months. And Miriam's been a big help to me with that. She knows about half of the people, half of the Christians in France. So she's always telling people about these resources that we have. But we also have organized conferences and camps and seminars for the musicians in the churches in France. Most of the churches are small. That church in Saint-Denis that's like 200 people is really, really big for France. Most of the churches in France are small. Some of them are your size, but a lot of them are smaller. And so they only have one or two musicians, and they just don't have a lot of resources. They don't have beautiful arrangements of French songs. And we try to encourage them to write their own music too, not just translate from English, which a lot of people do. Both the older hymns and then the newer contemporary songs, they translate them into English and try to, or into French from English. It's not the same. It's not nearly as beautiful. It's not as clear. It just doesn't work well to translate poetry, if you've ever tried to do that, so that it matches music. It's very complicated. So we encourage them to write their own. And we had the opportunity to do a camp with an American composer last November. And we have a little highlights video that I'll show you during the morning service so you can get an idea of what these camps are like. But we started this 5 years ago, Ecce Musica, and Miriam is a member of that. And then there's a few other believers around the country that helped me with this. And it's been exciting to see how the Lord has allowed us to serve not just our local churches, but the church in general in France with these resources and these camps and conferences. So I'll show you a little more during the morning service, and appreciate your attention this morning. I can turn it back over to you.
Okay, thank you both so very much. We just got a little glimpse of things in France and what they are doing, and we appreciate that. And we'll be hearing more. Be sure to check out the table display back there. And if you'd like to visit with Miriam and Christy, please feel free to do that. They are here, and they're going to be leaving tomorrow, so this is your chance. They'll be here this evening as well, so make plans to be back tonight. We'll hear more about things in France. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in the ministry there. Thank you for Christy's involvement for these many years now, both in this southern part of France and now in the Paris area. And we pray for her and her ministry. We pray especially for the need of this building. We pray, Lord, you'll provide and continue to keep the door open and enable them to be meeting in this building soon. We pray for Miriam and her ministry that you're leading her to be involved in, and ask your blessing upon her. Bless us, we continue this morning, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.